life, there are a lot of things that we can do without. But there are some things we cannot do without. We have to have them. That is, if we're going to enjoy eternity with God and be saved and go to heaven. And so let's turn, if you will, to the book of Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9 and one verse tonight, verse 22. Some things you cannot do without. You say, well, I can just about do without anything, and there's nothing I really have to have. According to the Bible, you do have to have something if you're going to heaven. Verse 22, Hebrews 9, and almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission. Did you get it? Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. There is no forgiveness. Our sins cannot be removed, forgiven, and washed away without the shedding of blood. Now, there's some things you cannot do. There's some things you cannot do. You cannot be unborn once you're born. Actually, you cannot, when you're conceived in your mother's womb, you cannot stop being an entity, being a living soul that's going to live somewhere forever and ever. Now, you can take your position on abortion wherever you want to, but I'm telling you, the Bible says it's wrong. And when a child is conceived in the mother's womb, that is a child. These idiots, knuckleheads that are farming out, and they are selling parts of the body of little babies to people for a price, Planned Parenthood. God help those people. I believe if they're unsaved, they're going to have some of the hottest places in hell. And I'm not saying I want them to go there. I'm just saying that what a tragedy, what a terrible and horrible thing that is. But once you are conceived, you cannot be unborn. That'd be like trying to unscramble an egg. You can't do it. You just cannot do it. You cannot escape death. The only exception might be the rapture. But you're not going to escape death. If Christ tarries his coming long enough, every one of us in this building will pass away, will die. I go back sometimes and I'll look at some of the books that we have had pictures of the families of the churches, and we have it ever so often, and all of those are listed. Sometimes I'll go back and get that book and I'll say, boy, they're gone. And I'll put a little check mark by that and then on down, and boy, she's gone. Boy, they're gone. Boy, this family's gone. Right on down the line. And I can go back year after year in these 18 plus years and tell you there are a whole lot of people that used to be members of this church that are now in heaven. They're with the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? They died. I mean, physically they died. They went on to be with the Lord, but they died. And I'm not trying to be morbid or make you feel negative or bad tonight, but I'm telling you, if Jesus tarries his coming long enough, you're going to die and I'm going to die. Amen. It's going to happen. You cannot escape death, and because of that, you cannot escape judgment. There's a great day coming. There's a great judgment day coming. Now, for the believer, we know that we go to the judgment seat of Christ. To the unbeliever, the great white throne judgment. But friend, listen to me. If you're here tonight without Christ and you haven't been saved, you're going to die someday. And I'm telling you, there will be a judgment day. Judgment day is going to come. We will stand before a thrice holy God. And that's going to happen. Now, I found out in life there's some things I cannot do, but there's some things I can do without. I think I told you about this one time, but I heard about the fact that they have one of these things called a dog scratcher. It's like a car wash, and somebody in New York was trying to sell that, and you run your dog through and it scratches your dog. So like running your car through a dog wash. Well, I can do without that, amen? Matter of fact, I don't have a dog anymore. I did have a dog, but I don't have a dog anymore. It's like the country boys going to the city and all of that. And the guy looked at his dad and said, I've never seen so many things that I could do without. as he came to the city. I remember being in Paris, walking down the Champs-Élysées, and we were walking, Carol and I were walking down through there, and we saw a lot of items in those storefronts. And I saw shoes that somebody had given me over here, and there they were something like $400 or $500. And I thought, man, I feel pretty good about these shoes. I think they bought them at Walmart. I'm not real sure. But they were selling things all down through there, and boy, the price tag was real high on all of those things, and we looked at them and admired them and looked at them and decided that we didn't need any of those things. There are some things that I can do without. Sometimes I wish we would have never come up with cell phones and all of that. I could do without some of those. I know Brother Rigsby could, but at any rate, there are just some things we could do without. The country boys come to town and look at it like that. What can you do without today? I remember hearing about this farmer and his son coming to town. They were delivering eggs to this nice hotel, something like the Hilton Hotel, and they had never come before, and they went in there. And as they were coming in to the lobby, they saw the light and the numbers, and they didn't know what that was over there in the corner, and it was the elevator. And they saw a sort of homely-looking woman that went in that elevator, maybe. I don't know how to say this without being offensive, but let me just say it. She was a little bit overweight and all that, and just, you know, just very plain. And so she went in the elevator, and they watched it, and they looked at it. In a minute, a beautiful, good-looking blonde stepped off the elevator. And the son said to his daddy, What's that? He said, I don't know, son, but go get your mama. Let's put her in there, and let's see what happens. Well, we may not need an elevator. We may not need to go to town to see all those things we could do without. But here's one thing you cannot do without, according to the Word of God. You cannot do without the shedding of blood. You just can't do without the shedding of blood. Why? Because without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. And guess what? Every person needs forgiveness, don't we? I mean, even after we save, we need that, according to 1 John. But forgiveness, why? Guilt. You see, if you've never had your sins washed away and you've never been born again, you still have the guilt of your sins. And you are guilty, according to the Word of God. There is guilt. The psychiatrists of today, at least some think that this is true, say that the number one problem of people in our country and really around the world is guilt. People have guilt. And so you have people that wherever they are in the world, and I've preached around different places in the world, and I've discovered people have guilt, and they want to get that guilt cleansed and washed away and their sins washed away. And I preached a message in India, and 100 people got saved that night. Because why? They had guilt. And they knew it, and they walked down the aisle and received Jesus Christ to get their sins washed away. Amen. And so every person is guilty before Almighty God. The Aztecs in Mexico, they used to offer as many as 20,000 human sacrifices a year. 20,000 human sacrifices a year. The abortionist crowd doesn't have anything on them, or they didn't have anything on the abortionist crowd. But one great scholar of mankind said this, and I quote him, "Never a tribe or nation that has not used blood sacrifice." What were the Aztecs trying to do? What are these nations trying to do when they offer animal sacrifices and all of these things? What is the purpose of offering that blood? They believe that the sins are going to be washed away. They'll be purged. And somehow in the next life, they'll be all right because their guilt is washed away. But I'm telling you, the Bible says without the shedding of blood, there is no redemption. There is no forgiveness. The human sacrifices other than one sacrifice, and that's Jesus Christ, will not do it. You could offer 20,000 a year, and it won't appease God Almighty at all, because all of the blood of all of those human sacrifices were offered was the blood that was tainted with sin. And they were sinners. But not Jesus. Jesus was perfect. And he never sinned. You go and read the book of Leviticus. It talks so much about the blood. You read the book of Exodus and it talks about the blood. And it's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. And all of us have the same kind of blood running through our veins. It's Adam's blood. We're all kinfolks. Did you know that? We all go back to Adam and Eve. And that blood is running through our veins. But Jesus didn't have that tainted blood. But we have it. That's why we need a cleansing, a purging, a forgiveness of our sins. We have a common origin. We have about 5 quarts of blood in our body, and it's Adam's blood. But we also have a problem with our blood, like leukemia, and that is that we have sin in that. And it is worse than leukemia because the tainting of our blood is something that has eternal impact to it. As bad as leukemia is, that's temporary in this life. And a saved person can go on to heaven and have a new glorified body. But it not happen to you, because the worst thing, worse than that, is the tainted blood we have, sinful blood. And it has to be washed and purified and made whole by the Lamb of God. And so Christ is our Passover. That's what they were talking about in Exodus. It was not the blood of the Lamb and all of that. It was looking to the cross of Calvary. The blood was symbolic of the Lamb of God, and it was looking by faith forward to the cross, where those people were justified as they had faith looking to the coming Lamb of God. And the Lamb that there was just a temporary thing that they were trusting in. We know that it was not that they were trusting as far as looking for Christ. We know that it was not silver and gold. Peter tells us silver and gold won't buy it. It won't get it done. You can have all the silver and all the gold in the world, and you can't buy your redemption. You can't get rid of your sin. You can't get rid of the guilt. It's never going to be gone. But John the Baptist said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." Behold the Lamb of God, the blood, the shed blood of the Lamb of God. And Jesus Christ going to the cross, dying on the cross. Jesus was not a martyr to a cause. Jesus was not a victim to a Roman army or a Jewish religion. Jesus laid down his life voluntarily for you and for me. He died on the cross for our sins. Thank God he did. And I'm telling you tonight, friend, he loves you. He died for you, but you cannot do without the shedding of blood. That's the only way, ma'am and sir and you, that's the only way you're going to get to heaven. The second thing you can't do without is faith. We cannot do without faith. How do you know that, preacher? Well, the Bible says that. Hebrews 11:6. The Bible says in Hebrews 11:6, without faith, it is impossible to please him. How many of you believe that? Say amen. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. It's the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Were you there when they crucified my Lord? The songwriter asked. I wasn't there. Oh, I was there in him, through him, but personally I was not there. But I'll tell you one thing, I believe he died. I believe he was buried, and I believe he came out of the grave. How do I believe that? Faith in this word. I believe the Bible, because it proves itself to be true and without error, and I believe what it says about my Jesus. I believe that with all of my heart and with all of my soul. And it says without faith it is impossible to please him. Noah went in that ark by faith. He never had rain. He didn't even know what a flood was as such. But by faith he believed what God said, entered the ark, and he was saved from that. It was faith in God's word. It wasn't science that he was depending on. It wasn't the boat he was depending on as such. Judgment was coming. God told him that. Noah realized that. And Noah said, he and his wife and family, we better get on the ark. God said, build the ark. Get it ready. Get in the ark. I'll seal it up and you'll be safe. Noah believed it. How? By faith. He just took God at his word and believed it. We look at the world conditions today, they're not good. We're headed for Armageddon one of these days. We're headed Russia and Iran and Iraq, and they're going to go down and try to destroy the Jews. Mark my word, it's going to happen someday. Then later on, Armageddon is going to take place. We know that we have nuclear weapons, and I talked about some of that last Wednesday night. We're headed for the tribulation period that's going to come. There's going to be a tribulation period. For those of you who may not know that, there's coming a period where there'll be a seven-year time, and Antichrist will make peace with the Jews. He'll break that peace treaty with them in the middle of it, and for 3.5 years, all hell will break loose on the face of the earth. And if you haven't been saved and you've had a chance to be saved and you squandered that, you will probably go through the tribulation period and not receive Christ as your Savior. There's some evidence in the Scriptures that would teach that. Well, how do we get faith? Without faith, you can't please Him. How do you get faith? Where do you get it from? You say, well, I just sort of make up my mind. Well, I believe there's sort of a better way than that, but man, I believe, as some would take issue with this, I believe man is trichotomatic. I believe we have a body, soul, and a spirit. I believe the Bible indicates that, and there are places that it talks about that. You may want to put the soul and spirit together. I choose not to in studying the Word of God. I heard a very scholarly man say the other day on a DVD or a CD that he believed it was just dichotomatic, and he had one verse out of all that. But I believe you take all the verses and put them all together and see what God says. And so man has, I think, body, soul, and spirit. I believe that animals have something we might call a soulish existence. That doesn't mean that they're going to die and go to hell or go to heaven and all that kind of thing. Now, don't get mad at me. If you had a poodle and it died and you want it in heaven, God will probably get it for you. Okay? My border collie's already there. I know that. So at any rate. But I have seen, when I had my border collie, I've seen her think more intelligently, and I have seen some human beings think, some that I know, than some people I know. And I could scold her and say, Millie, don't do that. You know better than that. She'd duck that head and go over to the corner and lie down. I believe she had some kind of consciousness that we might call it that. She also had a will. If you ever try to bathe a dog, how many of you believe a dog has a will when you try to bathe a dog? If you've got a dog that likes a bath, it's probably brain damaged, all right? But Millie hated baths. And I'd go out with a hose and scrub her down, and I'd want to wash her, and she'd take off running with that soap on her. And she had a will of her own. She had will, she had some kind of emotion and all of that. But man has a spirit, and that's a little different. And we do know that there's that spiritual aspect in man. Man is not just an animal. I don't care what the devolutionists tell you. I don't care what they say. Man is not just a higher animal. Man is created in the image of Almighty God. We don't look like Him because He's a spirit, but we have body, soul, and spirit. The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. And we're created in the image of Almighty God. But what happened at the fall was we had that good spiritual part of us, Adam and Eve, before they sinned, that candle was burning inside. Let's put it that way. It was bright, luminiferous, burning, body, soul, and spirit. The spirit was alive. They were walking and basking in the grace and sunlight of God's love. Then they disobeyed God. And when they disobeyed God, the candle stayed in there, but the light went out. It went out. They became spiritually dead. The day that you do this, He said, you will die. Did they die physically that day? No. Did they start dying physically? Yes. But how did they die that day? You'll surely die today. You'll die. Their spirit died. They were dead in their trespasses and sin. And everybody that hadn't been saved, my friend, if you're here tonight and you hadn't been saved, you are still dead. Dead spiritually. Dead spiritually. That's why these people out there who are unsaved live like they do, do what they do, and even those who are morally trying to live out the right life, there's all that reality of the fact that they're dead spiritually. The candle has gone out. It's not lit. There's darkness. Now, how are you going to turn it on again? How are you going to get it to burn again? How are you going to get it to be brought to life again? How are you going to get the soul to be brought to life again? Well, I think there's two, is a combination. It's God's Word and the Holy Spirit. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Thank God for the Holy Spirit. Don't ever minimize the person of the Holy Spirit. God the Father, God the Son, equal with the Father. God the Holy Spirit, equal with the Father and Son. The Holy Spirit is not an it. Don't ever call him an it. He is a person. The Holy Spirit of God. And the Holy Spirit, I'm so glad when I preach this book, wherever I preach it. I preach it in the Philippines, this same Bible probably. And I preach it in India, and I preach it in France, and I preach it in Mexico, and I preach it in other places. And I've discovered this. You get the Word of God out in the truth, and the Holy Spirit blesses it, and people walk the aisle and get saved. I may have to have an interrupter, an interpreter, to interrupt me and me to say a few words, and then him, and then me, and then him. But the gospel gets out, the Word of God gets out, and the Holy Spirit says, I'm going to bless my word. And so that affects the mind. Body, soul, spirit, the spirit, the heart, the mind, connected together, it all affects that. And that gives light in that darkness. We're in darkness. We're lost. But the Word and the Holy Spirit illuminates the Word, makes it luminiferous in our life. And we see it. And it begins to give light. And if you'll walk in the light you have, God will give you more light. Walk in the light and God will give you more light. That's why some people, you say, well, are the heathen lost? Are they going to hell? If they don't get saved, they are. But if they really want to know God, there's enough light there that God will give them more light. Maybe send a missionary over there and tell them how to be saved. And they get more light and they get saved. Isn't that great? That God blesses his word. And that's what happened to you and me when we got saved. And you have to say, yes, the Spirit of God illuminates you and the Spirit of God shows you that you're a sinner, Jesus died for you, and he shows you that that's the truth, and then you have a choice in the matter. You can say yes or you can say no. You can say yes or you can say no. And if you say yes, you have to say yes by faith. You must have faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please him because you've got to believe what he says about it. What is faith? Well, faith is reclining wholly on something. Now, Brother Lindsay, do you believe if you stretch yourself out on that bench there, it'd hold you up? I hope it would. You're a pretty big guy. But anyway, I don't think you weigh more than me. But if you were to stretch out on, you're going home tonight and probably go to bed. Most of us will. And we're going to have confidence and faith if you're fortunate enough still sleep in the bed and don't have to sit up in the chair. Well, you're going to be there and you're going to recline all your weight. And you say, I believe this bed's going to hold me up. If it doesn't, then you need to change wherever you bought the bed. But at any rate, the illustration is still there. We recline, listen, all of our weight by faith on the finished work of Jesus Christ. Not capital B-A-P-T-I-S-T. I get tickled at so many people who spell it with a B, but anyway, the second one. But it's not reclining, oh, I'm a Baptist. I've had people tell me, well, I've been a Baptist ever since I was a little child. I've been saved ever since I was a little child. I've been saved all my life. I've had people tell me that I've been saved all my life. No, you can't be saved all your life. You got to be saved somewhere in your life. And you have to recline your weight, not on mom and daddy, not on grandpa and grandma, not on the church, not on these things, but you have to put all your weight, not on baptism, not on your good works. Listen to me now, only on Jesus. Put all your weight on Jesus and recline all your weight on him. That's what faith is. You're trusting nothing else, but simply trusting the Lord Jesus Christ, not 20% of your weight, not 50%, not 75%, but all of it. And so I can't do without the blood, and I cannot do without faith. And then thirdly, you cannot do without the hope of the resurrection. You can't do without the hope of the resurrection. We need that. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians, if Christ be not raised, then your faith is in vain. Zero, goose egg, bubble that's popped. It means nothing. If Christ be not raised, your faith is in vain. If in this life only we have hope, we're most miserable. I talked to some people. I talked to a person of another religion, a Hindu, the other day. At the cleaners, I was talking to her and gave her a tract. And she said, well, I'm a Hindu. I said, well, that's all right. You're a Hindu. I'm a Baptist. And I was trying to invite her back to the revival. She didn't come, but I was talking to her about it. And I feel sorry for her. She believes in many gods. She has no concept of what's going to happen to her after she dies. She doesn't know anything about the real heaven and the real Savior. I feel sorry for people like that. I really do. I mean that. We want to get the gospel to them, but they have to have faith. And if they don't understand about Jesus Christ, if you just have hope in this life only, no wonder you'd be miserable and live like the devil all your life and die and go to hell. What a sad thing. But thank God we have more than hope in this life. The prevalent mood in our country today is one of not much hope. A lot of people will say, how are we going to get out of this mess we're in? I love America, and I said this morning, I love our veterans. Thank God for them. Thank God for the freedoms we still have. But you got to have your head in the sand if you don't realize that we're in pretty much of a mess in our country. It's a mess. What is our hope? Do we have any hope? There's a lot of despair. And in somebody's personal life sometimes, there is no hope. Some people have no hope for their marriage. Some people have no hope for their health problem, and they have no hope in their business or the pressures of life. A real famous cardiologist made this statement. He said, hope is the best medicine I can give. Hope is the best medicine I can give. A lot of people are turning not to Jesus, but they're turning to sex. They're turning to pleasure. They're turning to materialism. They're turning to drugs. I never thought I'd live long enough to see that in our country, there's a state that is legalizing marijuana and taxing it, and you're going to take the tax money and have some scholarship for students to go to college. Is that sick or what? Let me tell you, friend, liquor costs more than the tax money that is raised on liquor in taxes. It's been proven over and over again. People, as far as gambling, the same thing. It's been proven over and over again. And all of that, they say, well, we're getting money for education. We're getting money for this. My friend, you're just dumping more responsibility on the taxpayer to take care of the people and the families that are broken up by alcohol and drugs and the crime rate and all the things that go with it. If you add that up, it's a whole lot more money than what is raised by taxation. But people try to turn to pleasure, sex, and drugs. Are you an optimist, preacher, or a pessimist? I'm an optimist. You don't sound like it. Well, I am. I'm an optimist. Why? I told you the other day, I've read the last page. Amen? I've read the last page. I know what it says. I read the last book of the Bible. Do you believe in the resurrection? I do believe in the resurrection. Why do you believe in the resurrection? Because my Lord arose. He came out of the tomb. Some of you have been over there. I've been over there. It was empty, just plumb empty. The tomb of Buddha is not empty. The Muslim leaders are not empty, empty tomb. Muhammad's tomb is not empty. I've been over there where they say on the dome, where the Dome of the Rock is, and you go out there and they say there's a piece of Muhammad's hair on that rock, and that's where he ascended to heaven from. I got news for them. There's nothing in the world any further from the truth than that. But Jesus came out of that grave. History proves it. even secular historians had to admit, Josephus, Suetonius, whoever it might have been, they had to admit that Jesus came out of that grave. Why in the world would people follow somebody and risk their lives and be martyrs to it if they didn't believe that he came out of the grave? If they thought he was an imposter and a liar and just some kind of religious kook, they would never have put their lives on the line like that. Paul never would have given up his religion as a Jew. No, they know that Jesus came out of the grave. And history proves that. For our hope is in heaven, from which we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 tells us he's coming again. He's coming again. We're not to weep as those that have no hope. I use that in funerals all the time. 1 Thessalonians 4:13-18. And he talks about what? He talks about Jesus coming again, coming in the air, the dead in Christ being raised first, and those which remain and are alive will all be caught up together, meet the Lord in the air, and will forever be with the Lord. Amen? That's good. I like that. And he says at the end of that, wherefore, do what? Comfort ye one another with these words. Comfort, comfort, hope. We have hope in Jesus Christ. And I promise you one day, hallelujah, glory to God, he will reign on this planet called Earth. He will reign on this planet called Earth. Well, a lot of times I've been on some missions trips, and when I'm coming back home, I want to see my wife. I miss her. And when I get off the plane or see her, I promise you, I give her a big old pucker and a kiss and a great big old hug. Some of you guys need to pay attention. Don't look at me like I'm crazy. And she's been waiting on me to come back. And if she ever goes on a trip, sometimes she'll go on a trip with her sisters. She has four other sisters. They're all mean. She's a sweet one. And she leaves. I'm just sort of lost, you know. I said, what do I do with these dishes? What do I do? What button do I punch on the microwave? And sometimes I think I've even blown up some things. But I'm glad. I'm looking for her to come back. I'm always glad when she's back home. I'm looking for Jesus. And what a day that's going to be when Jesus comes again. Because he lives, I have hope. Do you? Do you? Are you saved? You can't do without the shedding of blood. You can't do without faith. You can't do without the hope of the resurrection. If you're here tonight without Jesus, I implore you to come and trust him as your Savior. Let's stand, please. And those of us that are saved, whatever God's spoken to your heart about, something in our lives as we think about these things, how we ought to serve him and live for him and be a witness to others that they might be able to come to Jesus and tell them how, like the little lady in the message this morning, the little maiden who had the cure, the answer for Naaman's sinful leprosy. May God help us to be faithful. And if you're here without Christ, come, step out, walk down the aisle. That's the way we do it here. And just simply say, I want to be saved. I want to know I'm going to heaven. Isn't that good that you know you're going to heaven? And you can. By trusting Christ. You've got to trust in the blood. Father, thank you for the word of God. Lord, if there's someone here that's not saved, may they sense that we love them in this place. May they realize that you love them. May the Holy Spirit speak to their hearts and draw them to Christ. May they get that assurance based on the blood and their faith in the finished work of Christ, that they have hope and they're going to heaven. They don't have that. Help them to get it tonight. Help us who have been saved, oh God, to realize what you have done for us, to give our lives wholly, completely over to you. In Jesus' name.